Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the SNC-Lavalin Q2 2009 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for the queue-up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Friday, August 7th, 2009, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Denis Jasmin, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I trust that you have received a copy of the second quarter results, as well as the PowerPoint presentation to guide you through today's call. You can access both documents in the Investor Relations section of our website at snclavalin.com. During today's conference call, Pierre Duhem, President and Chief Executive Officer, will highlight the second quarter results, and Gilles Laramé, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will review the company's financial performance in greater detail. Following their presentations, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide number 3, certain statements made in this presentation may be forward-looking. Such comments represent management's best judgment and expectations as of today, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Pierre Duhem.
Thank you very much, Denis. Good afternoon to all, and thanks for your interest in SNC-Lavalin. Before I focus on specific data, I'm pleased to inform you that we had a very good 6 months this year. Our net income and backlog increase, the challenging go-away project is finally in commercial operation, and subsequent to quarter end, we issue $350 million of 10 years unsecured debentures. All this to say that we are pleased with our performance so far this year, and it looks positive for the rest of the year. Now, let's look at the presentation slide in detail, which you have. As highlighted in slide number 4, net income for the second quarter 2009 increased to $80 million from $75 million for the second quarter 2008. This increase is mainly due to higher contribution from the powers and infrastructures and environment segment, partially offset by a loss in chemical and petroleum. For the six-month period end June 30, 2009, net income increased by 7.7% to $158 million compared to $146 million for the same period in 2008. This increase is mainly explained by higher operating incomes in the infrastructure and environment and power segment as well, partially offset by the chemical and petroleum sectors, which record a loss in the first 6 months of 2009. The chemical and petroleum segment continue to be challenging. The operating loss in that segment in both the first and second quarters of 2009 is primarily due to an unfavorable cost reforecast on a major packages project coupled with a lower level of packages and service activity. As shown on slide number 5, revenue for the first half of the year were lower at $3.1 billion. Compared to $3.5 billion for the first half of 2008, mainly reflecting an expected decrease in packages activities, partially offset by an increase in service and operation and maintenance activities. Company financial position remained strong at the end of June 2009, with cash and cash equivalent totaling $636 million, compared to $988 million as of December 31st, 2008. The variance in cash is mainly due to working capital requirement on certain major packages, project, the acquisition of property and equipment, and new investment related to an infrastructure concession investment. As you can see on slide number 6 now, subsequent to quarter end, the company completed a public debt issuance of $350 million of 10 years unsecured debentures, which will bear interest at the rate of 6.19%. Company expects to use the net proceeds from this issuance to fully repay its $105 million unsecured debentures, which bear an interest rate of 7.7% due in September 2010, as well as to add long-term capital for funding potential investment in infrastructure transition investment and potential selective business acquisition and for general corporate purposes. Now turning to slide number 7, company total backlog for the four revenue categories, service, packages, operation and maintenance, and infrastructure concession investment, increased to $9.9 billion at the end of June 2009, compared to $9 billion at the end of March 2009. The service revenue backlog remained in line at $1.6 billion. The packages revenue backlog increased to $3.8 compared to $3.2 at the end of March 2009, mainly due to the chemical and petroleum segment. The June 2009 package backlog includes notable additions such as the engineering procurement construction contract to design and build natural gas processing facilities in Algeria and the engineering procurement construction contract for a new concert hall for the Montreal Symphony Orchestra in downtown Montreal. Slide 8 highlights the infrastructure concession investment development for the quarter. In May 2009, SNC-Lavalin announced that it had entered into an agreement with the government of Quebec to design, build, finance, operate, and maintain a new concert hall for the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. The engineering procurement construction portion of the project would be complete in 2011. Once completed, SNC-Lavalin will operate and maintain the hall until 2038. June 2009, Ambatovi shareholders, including SNC-Lavalin, which has a 5% equity interest, conclude an equity arrangement whereby they would increase their equity contribution to the project in proportion to their respective shareholdings, with no change to the project debt financing. At the same time, they also conclude a funding arrangement to finance the remaining required equity contribution of one of the shareholders, which is also the project operator. As per this funding arrangement and based on the 2009 approved cost estimate, SNC-Lavalin contribute a total of $127 million to the Ambatovi project equities and to loan a total of $57 million to the project operator. SNC-Lavalin's equity contributions and loan are covered by the put and call arrangement. As at June 30, 2009, SNC-Lavalin has contributed $89 million to the Ambatovi US dollars to the Ambatovi project equity and has loaned $32 million to the project operator. Also, as you can see on slide number 9, on July 2nd, 2009, Astoria 2 has reached financial closing. Financing for over $1 billion US has been closed with a number of financial institutions. This financing is non-recourse to SNC-Lavalin. On the same date, SNC-Lavalin commitment to invest approximately $70 million for its 18.5% equity interest in Astoria 2. July last year, Astoria 2 was awarded a 20-year tolling agreement by the New York Power Authority for the supply of energy and capacity of an approximately 550 megawatt combined cycle thermal power plant at the Astoria site in New York. Construction has begun and is expected to be completed by summer 2011. SNC-Lavalin is the engineering, procurement and construction managers of the facility. As you will note on slide 10, we still have many opportunities in many sectors and in many countries. The infrastructure and environment segment is an especially active market right now. The opportunity in transport, particularly for airport, mass transit system and port, as well as in infrastructures, mainly for bridges, building, hospital, road and water treatment and distribution facilities. The opportunities are worldwide, but the most active market in this segment presently for the company are Africa, Canada, Europe and Russia. With the increase in crude oil price, Chemical and Petroleum Group is pursuing more opportunity than it was 6 months ago, mainly in Africa, Canada, the Middle East, Russia, and Venezuela. As mentioned earlier, this group signed a notable and important contract, engineering procurement construction contract in Algeria in June of this year. The Power Group continued to see opportunities for new hydro, nuclear, and gas-fired thermal projects in Canada as well as internationally. We also foresee strong demand for upgrading and building new electrical transmission systems, mainly in North America. As mentioned earlier, the Gorway Thermal Project plant is now fully in commercial operation. Our mining and metallurgy group continue to pursue opportunities worldwide, particularly in the field of copper, gold, iron ore, potash, and uranium. Brazil continues to be a strong market right now, and Africa and South Asia are looking promising as well. Our operation and maintenance group is pursuing opportunities primarily in Canada, and during the quarter, it was awarded an extension on a major contract. And finally, our infrastructure concession investment group remains very active, and we are currently looking at about 10 investment opportunities, mainly in Canada and in France. Conclusion. Given the still difficult economic environment, we are pleased with our performance for the first 6 months of the year. It is in line with our expected net income growth of 7-12% for the 2009. I will now turn the conference over to Gilles Lalamé to review our financial results.
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon, everyone. We move to slide number 12, consolidated income statement. As mentioned by Pierre, for the quarter, the net income went from $75 million to $80 million, an increase of 6%. The revenue were lower, and the lower revenue was mainly due to lower packages revenue. You may recall that in our MD&A disclosure at year-end, we had said that we were expecting for the full year that the packages revenue would be lower, and as for the first quarter and the second quarter, package revenue were lower. However, we generated higher gross margin in the quarter despite the lower revenue, and that is mainly because of higher percentage of profitability on our packages activities. So you may recall again that we are aiming to go back to our normal profitability level on gross margin after fringe of over revenue for packages activities, and therefore we're getting there and we're pleased to report such and in line with our expectation that we have disclosed in our MD&A, and that's why our gross margin sits at $261 million compared to $246 million in the corresponding second quarter of 2008. Turning to slide number 13, if we look to the different segment of activities one by one in terms of their profitability, first in the infrastructure and environment for first 6 months, services and packages were up in terms of revenues, and the much better performance in terms of operating income, sitting at $117 million, is due to favorable reforecast on certain major package projects, coupled with increased level of activities. And certainly, it has been a very good performance in the first quarter for the infrastructure and development, and as well, as you can see, the second quarter performance has been very good as well. Power segment reported a profit of $40 million in the quarter, while last year it was just at $5 million. You may recall that in the first 6 months of 2008, the loss for Norway impacted significantly that performance in 2008. With regards to the revenue, it's lower, however, our services are up over the last 6 months, and our packages are down as expected and as we had disclosed, as there are larger packages contracts that are nearing completion. Our mining and metallurgy group, over a six-month period, had about the same level of revenue, however, more services by about 27%, but no packages activities in 2009, as there were some in 2008. The profitability or the operating income was higher than 2008, as the gross margin to revenue ratio was higher as well. Chemical and petroleum, lower revenue as we were forecasting in both the services and packages activity. And the loss, as it was in the first quarter of 2009, was mainly attributable to a major package project, which we had some cost reforecasting that was unfavorable to the company. However, one positive sign for that segment of activities in quarters to come is the fact that the backlog had doubled with the signing of the Algerian Runus contract. So certainly it is a positive sign for the upcoming quarters, or certainly for the year 2010 for chemical petroleum. Other industries were about the same level. Operation maintenance slightly better, mainly due to better, higher gross margin to revenue ratio, and the infrastructure and concession activities over the 6 month period was about the same level. Turning to our balance sheet on slide number 14, our cash and cash equivalent, as Pierre had mentioned, and we'll review that in the coming slide, was lower. The other point I would like to draw to your attention is the changes to the property and equipment from infrastructure concession investment being at 2.1 billion compared to 1.7 billion in December of 2008. And of that, there's about 232 million that relates to AltaLink, and of which 145 million relates to a reclass for new GAAP requirement that deals for starting January 1st, 2009 without any reclass for 2008. As well, there is 86 million of revised estimate for asset retirement obligation that impacted property and equipment for the ICI activities, and as well the other long-term liability that you can see down below that was affected. Also point to mention, our cash went down, but our current liability went down also when we compared 3.3 billion compared to 2.8 billion by about 500 million. So our trade payables, our down payment on contract, and our deferred revenue all went down, and certainly as major contracts are nearing completion, there is payment being executed, being made, and also advances that are being used. And in that regard, that had a significant impact on our cash and cash equivalent position. Slide number 15 illustrates the movement of cash when we start with year-end of December 31st, 2008, with the 988 million. And the main variants are the following. Okay. Cash used by operating activities of 92 million. And that is for two reasons. There is 157 million of profit, and so a positive contribution, but the net change of non-cash working capital being an unfavorable amount of 281 million. And that has been largely impacted, as I mentioned, by the payments on larger projects for accounts payable and also the use of advance and deferred revenue. The acquisition of property and equipment, the 141 million of usage, mainly relates to AltaLink. The payment for ICI is mainly related to the payment made on the MBA2V investment, and as well as the 30 million I reflected on that slide being a loan to the operator of MBA2V. Also, point to mention is the 74 million net increase of non-recourse long-term debt for ICI, and that is mainly related to the AltaLink concession. And lastly, the dividend of 45 million. Turning to slide number 16, as Pierre mentioned, our revenue backlog has gone up by $1 billion compared to March, from 9 million to 9.9, or 900 million increase. And really the element to point out is our packages backlog from 3.1 billion to 3.8 billion. And as mentioned by those, the two projects, mainly because of the major gas processing complex in Algeria that contributed to that increase. If we look to slide number 17, you can see to the backlog of services and packages for our different segments, and you can see that chemical and petroleum was higher, in particular in the packages activities, and as I mentioned, it more than double compared to the December 31st, 2008 backlog. Also, there's a power services activities that went up, and certainly it's a positive sign for the power segment in months to come. This concludes the part of my presentation, and we're opening for questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct a question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift your handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Anthony Zika from Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Guy, could you comment on an update on the chemical and petroleum project that is resulting in the losses, and would you expect any additional losses in the second half? And last but not least, will the project be completed by the end of 2009?
We don't give the idea on the project, but let's say we have reached a substantial completion on good part of the project in July 2009. We expect to complete it either late 2009 or first quarter 2010. What left to be done is not big, and we think we have a good understanding of the future costs. So I would be surprised to see more overrun. It's never impossible, but I would be surprised.
Okay. And one more question. What is the status of the Algerian contract for Hassi Massoud? We would have expected to be signed by now. Is it an appeal process by your competitors? And when could we see it in the backlog numbers? Thank you.
Well, we are still pleased with the decision in Algeria about Hassi Massoud. Unfortunately, for many reasons, including summer holiday, there is no decision yet or no final announcement yet. We expect it to be done by the end of this month, but still in good line.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Maxim Saitcha from Unity Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a couple of questions. Right now, the fact that, you know, backlog is rising, I was wondering, when do you think you'll start converting it into revenue? So I guess another way to look at it, you know, when do you expect your revenue growth to resume?
Certainly, if we look to the full year of 2009, in the next 6 months, as new projects are signed, right away there's not a ramp-up, there's engineering to be performed. In that regard, we're foreseeing that the revenue of packages for the next 6 months will still be lower than in 2008. Certainly for 2010, if we carry on and signing packages contract, it looks promising in that regard.
Okay. Also, I had a question regarding the mining division. I mean, given the pretty tough environment, it seems that you're performing extremely well. I guess, could you please tell us, you know, what is driving that performance and whether it's sustainable?
Well, it's these mining and metals projects are always being a long, I would say, big and quite long term contract. They therefore sometimes for 3, 4, 5 years even so. So they have been signed. They are continuing. So we still enjoying good revenue and good profit out of it. I'm still bullish about the future of mining and metals. And I'm not the only one, by the way. The industry can see the commodity price, future price will be having pressure. We have right now nickel at close to $10 a pound, which is quite impressive. Copper at more than $3 a pound. So I could see positive news in the month to come for investment, and I think we would be able to continue in the same with the same kind of rate. The only one, and I said that before, is aluminum, and aluminum is not in the same situation than the other metals, so that could be a bit more challenging. But for the rest, I feel positive about it.
In terms of precise, maybe a figure for 2009, you may recall that 2008 we did an operating income in mine metallurgy of $117 million, while first 6 months of 2008 reflect $37 million. So meaning that in the second part of 2008 we had $80 million contribution from M&M. And you can see right now we've been having $47 million in the first 6 months. So our expectation, as we had disclosed in our MD&A, was that mining metallurgy was to be lower for 2009 compared to 2008, and was mainly because of the second part of 2008 that was extremely good. However, like Pierre mentioned, it is nonetheless a positive, as we can see there is positive sign. But as we speak right now, for 2009, we're expecting that mining metallurgy is to be lower in terms of operating income compared to 2008.
Okay. And just one very short question. I was wondering if you could comment on the margins that you're getting on new bookings. I mean, are they comparable to what you had in the past? I mean, what is the trend there?
I think we continue to see, you know, as we add said in our different communication to shareholder, we're aiming to be back at a normal profitability on packages, and certainly we are aiming signing those contracts to be at least at those levels. And on services, maybe there's a bit of lower, a bit of margin, but nonetheless it's still good for us, but we can see a bit of contraction, a bit, but very good nonetheless.
Okay, thank you very much.
You want to add something?
Yeah,
there?
I would like to say suddenly in the concession sectors, that is suddenly in Canada at least, there is a good competition, and it's hard to win, let's say. So we are fighting hard, and hopefully it would be positive. But if one place is difficult right now, it's the concession in some regards.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Frédéric Bastien from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Most of my questions relate to the power segment. First one, you were selected as the preferred proponent on a power project in British Columbia, but we haven't seen a press release related to that yet. Can you please tell us what needs to happen before you can also add that particular project to the backlog?
Yeah, I could say something. It's we are still in final negotiation to start the project. We think we'll start the preliminary engineering would be start soon, but the full go ahead and the full booking of the project need to go through some major milestone. Let's say some of this is permitting, some others is getting the financing in place. And finally to have a final contract. These preconditions will take a few months to go, maybe October, maybe November, but that's what we think. And until we have all these in place, we're not going to declare it as fully booked.
Okay, thanks. There are obviously a lot of opportunities in transmission and distribution. A lot of that will flow through your investment through AltaLink. I was wondering if you're seeing other potential elsewhere in North America for particularly for transmission.
Yeah, when you talk about AltaLink, it's AltaLink is only related to what's going on in Alberta. Anything else is TND is not AltaLink. So we see certainly opportunities. I would say we have in Quebec, we have good expertise for TND. We are certainly interested in Ontario. Ontario has a lot of money spent on his network, and we are also there. There is an opportunity in British Columbia, where we are working as well, and we are more and more interested to work in the state, where there is a huge investment as well in that regard. So the opportunity out there, we have the people, we have the expertise, and we are certainly focusing on these.
Thanks. The increase on the power segment on the services side, it's up $100 million. Wondering where that's coming from. Can you provide some color on that?
Certainly one of the elements is the signing of Astoria or closing of the financing on Astoria 2, whereby we do have a EPCM role, and with the closure of that financing got the EPCM booking recognition. That is one of the major elements that explain that booking or that increased services backlog and power.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. Last one, Darlington. What's next?
Well, that's if I knew, I would tell you, then I would be happy. But really, the next step is to find out if the federal government want to come to the table and to provide some kind of price and guarantee of the price to Government of Ontario. There is discussion. There is certainly. I would not say negotiation, but certainly there is discussion between the two governments, but there is no decision yet. So all that EACL dilemma, let's say, is linked to the future of Darlington. Hopefully there would be a resolution, but I don't know yet.
Thanks.
I just also want to say what, I cannot say the number, but what you have seen in the paper regarding the cost of Darlington is not the real number. This is not what we are talking about.
Is it higher or lower?
Lower.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Pierre Lacroix from Desjardins Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. First question, let's go on the acquisition front. Do you have any updates on this front in terms of sector timing? Are you busy on this side?
We're, as you know, we're always busy on this side, looking at many opportunities and looking. We don't set for ourselves any target date or any milestone to say we need to have accomplished certain acquisition. For us, it needs to be strategic, needs to be fitting with our business plan, and also that culturally there is a good understanding. But I must say we are more active than we've never been in terms of looking at various opportunities, and also there is opportunities that are bigger than maybe previously what you've been accustomed to see us doing in terms of acquisition. But again, they're not done, and however, we are certainly very active in terms of looking and being interested in increasing, for example, our product expertise in certain area, or expanding our product expertise, or expanding certain geographical region.
Okay, that's good. And in terms of, you were talking about divesting infrastructure concessions. Any progress on this front? Have you made any kind of strategic decision on this? Or
we're always looking and evaluating. For sure, if we feel that in terms of return versus what it will give us versus somebody else who potentially has a lower cost of capital be interested in certain of our concessions, we're open. And we have initiated certain concession to look and potentially dispose of certain of them. However, there is, again, we're not pre-setting ourselves to say we need to sell absolutely. And as you can see, we went to the debenture market to increase our capital to be able to invest more in business acquisition and more in terms of infrastructure concession. But as mentioned, we are more active than before in looking at potentially selling certain concessions.
Okay. Going back to Alten Inc., it seems that CapEx for 2009 would be quite sizable versus versus history. I think it's a number like $1 billion versus the rate base, which is kind of $1 billion. So it's first, are my numbers right? And you know, if you suppose $1 billion capex for Alten Inc., what is the implication for the ENC component of SNC?
To answer to that, as you can see, after 6 months, when you look to the ICI on our cash flow statement, as I pointed out, we are at 125 million, and a large chunk of that relates to Altalink. In that regard, to go in 2009 to reach 1 billion, there is a hell of an extension to do in the next 6 months. I think this is too large of a stretch. But that being said, I think there is a lot of projects in the works, and in that sense, if it's not 2009, 2010, maybe 2011, it is the province and their planning authority, as mentioned, that they need to enhance their transmission network. And in that regard, we're expecting to see an increase from that or the previous year level of acquisition on the property and equipment. And in that regard, for sure, it will reap some benefit to SNC leveling ATP.
Good. And one final, if I may, you know, with the backlog growth that that is now you know, we're not back on a growth mode. I guess you have a better idea of what 2010 will look like in terms of EPS. Do you think at this point that you may tend toward the historical EPS growth of 7 to 12% in 2010 as well?
Yeah, we're taking good news once at a time, Pierre. We were committed and we're, let's say, to finish this year with a growth, and which is quite spectacular, of, you know, between 7 and 12. We reiterate that this quarter. We had said that before. 2010 will come in the beginning of 2010, to mention that, following our budget exercise. Certainly seeing our backlog growing, and it's a positive news, and in that regard, you know, we are endeavoring to carry on, but it's too soon to come with you know, an expectation at this point of time. But I must say the context is looking good, as we do have quite good prospects as well as our backlog growing. So I cannot say more than that to you, Pierre, but it's positive for us.
This is totally fair. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Nick Morton from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Nick. Good afternoon, Nick.
The 407 highway seems to be perhaps picking up a little bit. Can you make some comment on your investment there, whether you, you know, or seeing any sign that from the other shareholders, Macquarie and Cintra, of desire to sell their position, and how you view your investment in the 407 now?
It's difficult to talk for others, Nick. We'll talk for SNC-Lavalin, and certainly we like this investment. There is an opportunity to have more traffic eventually with the Eastern extension. So, you know, there's been a bit of a reduction in traffic given the economy as we speak right now, but certainly it seems to be coming back, and we this is a very good investment to us. And at this present moment, as I was mentioning, that we're looking at potentially selling certain of our concession investment. Certainly Highway 407 is not in the plan as we speak.
Okay. And could I ask you, the operations and maintenance division didn't make much money in the last quarter. Is there a reason for that, and why its margins haven't been, you know, I think up to the level you'd expect?
If you look historically, the second quarter for that group has never been that good. You know, if you look in 2008, it was a loss of $3.9 million, and now this quarter is $574,000 of a loss. I think it's we're ahead after 6 months. We've said for the total year we would be ahead of 2008. We're continuing believing into that and estimating for it. Therefore, it's just that quarter has typically has not been a good one. The first quarter has typically always been a very good one, and that has to do also with budget spending from government and in up to that equates the budget of governments. So first quarter is a good one, and typically second quarter is not as good.
Still a division you want to grow outside of Canada and make acquisitions in?
Well, if I may answer on that one, Nick, yeah, we want to continue to grow. First, I would say I would like to continue to grow it in Canada, and I would like to get it in other product, let's say, than what we have right now. International, the model is not that easy to export. It will need a special effort for international. So we are focusing right now to grow more in Canada in different products.
Okay, great. And Astoria, could you just maybe spend a minute on talking about why you invest in Astoria too, and how you get out of that investment ultimately?
Astoria 2 is a very good investment in a way that, first of all, it was a challenge to set the financing, which, required about $1 billion of bank debt. It is a tolling agreement with New York Power Authority. So you have no risk on the gas price. You have a 20-year deal with a very good client. And financing now is behind us, so it is a very good in terms of risk profile and providing a steady return, and moreover it provides the EPCM services activities for SNC-Lavalin. So again, it is kind of the type of investment we're searching for, whereby it's stable return and also providing not only a return on the investment side but as well on our engineering and construction activities. So it fits into our plan, and like any other concession, there's always one point of time we need to see an exit point. But for the time being, it's exactly in the type of investment we like to make.
Well, thank you both very much. Thanks for being so predictable.
Thank you, Nick.
Your next question comes from Bill McKenzie from TD Newcrest. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Could you just provide your thoughts on the timing for issuing non-recourse debt for the Montreal Concert Hall? And I was just wondering how much capital do you think between now and then you'll be putting into to fund it before you're able to bring in some additional debt?
First is that we were bound to invest or find a financing on a 30-year basis, and therefore on a long-term basis. It was difficult a few months ago to even consider that, and that, financing long-term. If we look even for Astoria 2, we are on a 7-year type of mode. So in that regard, as the market is getting better, there will be some opportunity to have some bank long-term debt and as well potentially a bond on that regard. And lastly, when the construction will be over, will be one risk less for financial institution and it being even easier to finance. So right now, we have no plan to be in a rush to search for the financing. We have the balance sheet to do it, and we're talking about up to the end of the construction to be funding about $150 million, of which the province will give back $75 million upon the completion.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then just along the same lines, in terms of the working capital investment, I appreciated the explanations earlier in the call in terms of what's going on there. But when I look at the package backlog, took a big step up this quarter, and I appreciate a lot of that was one particular contract. But what should we expect from working capital over the next few quarters, with package backlog starting to increase? Should we see some capital coming in from your customers to pre-fund some of these projects and have a favorable working capital swing, or is there still enough other business that's being drawn down to offset that? I guess, what's the outlook for working capital over the next two, three quarters?
It's something that we don't project, but I would, with the caveat that Denny expressed at the beginning of the conference call, would risk to say that we are certainly estimating that our cash position, set aside the debenture issue, is to go up from the level of June. So in that regard, implicitly, the net cash working capital variance should be in a positive mode. But again, with the timing of project and timing of entry, it's something that we never want to project, but it's our estimation at this time is we should be in a better position in the quarters to come.
Okay. And then in terms of the infrastructure segment this quarter, and I guess last quarter, the contracts that you referred to where there's been some favorable reforecast on the cost, where do those projects stand from a percentage of completion basis, and should we assume that margins in that segment kind of come down from these levels as those sorts of gains dissipate?
I think it's fair to say that it's possibly you could expect that to come down in quarters to come. I think at that level, it's a high level. There were projects that were nearing completion into that. But nonetheless, it is a very, booming sector. So I need to be careful with that projection, but certainly it's a very high performance and was some favorable contribution. Still we're expecting a much better overall performance in 2009 compared to 2008 in the infrastructure and environment. But to carry on at the pace of the first 6 months, maybe not.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Paul Lechem from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Just want to ask about international initiatives you mentioned in the initial commentary about Russia. Wondering what your capabilities are in Russia at this point in time and what you might be planning to do there. You didn't mention India, and I saw there's a recent small win there for you. So just wondering what your plans also are in that region.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi.
Russia, it's suddenly interesting. We all know we are working there on the infrastructure side, but we are also bidding job and on the oil and gas sector, and there is also opportunities in the other sector, which is could be powers or mining and metals. So we Russia, we are quite active. We are happy with the recent evolution, and I can see some more to come in the near term. We didn't mention about India because there is some project we are doing right now in India in infrastructure that has been announced in Mumbai, and I'm looking at developing India a big way, but I don't have right now something to more about it. It's a business as usual a bit, and in the months to come, maybe we'll have something more to do.
Okay, fair enough. Just following on maybe the previous question on the infrastructure environment, you mentioned there are some favorable cost reforecasts there. The power division also, you've had some very strong margins. Was there some extraordinary or some cost reforecast going on there in the quarter as well?
Certainly, and the power sector will enjoying the fact that we don't have any more doorway that had an influence on our results, and it's a business that carries on. So in that sense, the power sector is more going back to a traditional level of profitability compared to in the past, as you know, the go-away element attached to it.
There was nothing extraordinary, or no closeouts, or no reversals of provisions, or end of contract.
There is certainly project as they are nearing completion, the ins and out, but for sure, overall, there's nothing, if I could say, that really could say it's one project, but there's overall, it's a very good performance for the group.
Excellent. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from Mansoor Khan from Dundee Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Just a question on Goreway. Now that the project has begun commercial operations, I was just curious if you have any updates on a final settlement for the project. Last quarter, you had mentioned that once it nears completion, you would look into a final settlement. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, there is. We have reached a commercial. There is things which still left to be settled, both with the owners and with some of our contractor supplier. It's not done yet. It will take probably 2, 3, 4 months to clean all these things. But overall, I would not say this would be a major difference. It would be some positive, some negative, but overall I think it would be a minor difference. So it's work to be done, but I don't expect to see a big impact on the number.
Okay, thank you. And one other question. Sherrod recently announced that the transition head of state of Madagascar is claiming that the Ambatovi project is or does not meet all requirements for permitting. Do you have any updates on that, or how do you see that play out?
Well, I saw also the same what Sherrod has been saying about it. It's quite I would say usual in Africa to have a new president claiming there is maybe better things to be done for his own population. So that's not a big surprise to us. I must say we have been following on this project all the World Bank, let's say, directive and indication for similar project in that kind of country. So we feel comfortable with that. Our own opinion by our own legal people is we have a very solid case. If somebody wants to challenge us, we'll be up there and defend ourselves. So suddenly it's a concern to us. We cannot say this is without concern, but we feel our case is quite strong and we are ready to defend our case.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Claude Prou from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Well, my question was on Ambatovi, but I mean, just one quick thing on this. I mean, do you have any kind of political insurance if there's something that goes wrong with it from that standpoint?
We don't have a political insurance on that project. Keep in mind we are an EPCM contractors and we're an investor. On the EPCM contract, things go well. The financing being put in place solve a lot of issue regarding payments to our subcontractors, so that's helped a lot. On the investment side, we have for SNC Lavalin, the put and call option has been what we call our own political insurance.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Your next question comes from Bill McKenzie from TD Newcrest. Please go ahead.
Just one thing I want to follow up on. I was wondering if you could talk about Algeria. I mean, you had some sort of notable significant success there recently, and I was just wondering what other opportunities in that region you might be pursuing, and how you would describe, I guess, the bidding pipeline in Northern Africa right now relative to what you have been seeing over the last several years.
We think we are not done yet with Algeria. There is still more good opportunity to come. The other place we are working also is Tunisia. We are also quite active and positive about Libya. There is many prospect right now in Libya. So Northern Africa for us is certainly interesting. Morocco, we are there as well. As maybe you know, Morocco is very rich in phosphate, and we have the fertilizer group there working in Morocco. There is potential there as well. So all the North Africa for us is quite positive, and I feel bullish about it.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Well, thank you everyone for participating in today's conference call. We hope you'll join us for next quarter conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. Please disconnect your lines.